So Revelation then, chapter 9. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the earth were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. A taste of hell upon the earth. That is what is happening here. Earth is getting a taste of hell itself in this vision. We commence looking at this fifth trumpet, and the vision that is accompanied by this fifth blast of the angel is before us in verses 1 through to 11. And in this vision, for the first time, we see a prominence given to Satan. Now, it's not the first time he's mentioned in the book of the Revelation. In the letters to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3, he is referred to by the Lord Jesus on a number of occasions. Smyrna, Thyatira, Pergamos, and Philadelphia are directly reminded about Satan. Four times the Lord Jesus uses the word Satan in those letters, and once he uses the word devil when he is addressing them. So the Lord is always reminding the churches about the devil. Satan, his usual name and the one most used by the Lord in those letters, Satan means adversary. The Lord would not have his congregation to be ignorant of the adversary, nor are we to be ignorant of his devices. And in those letters, the Lord Jesus speaks about the synagogues of the adversary. He talks about Satan's seat at Pergamos. He reminds us that false doctrine is the depths of Satan, the great depths that drowned men's souls. Devil means slanderer or false accuser. That's another aspect of his diabolical nature. He accuses the people of God, and usually falsely. He lies and he does harm by his lies. And that's the name that the Lord Jesus used when he was speaking to Thyatira, because he says the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Now, how is he going to get them cast into prison? It's because he's a devil. And it will be by false accusation and by lies. And so that's why he uses the word devil on that occasion, but he normally uses the word Satan to highlight the adversary that he is. So the fifth trumpet then is not the first mention of the adversary, but it is the first time we actually see him in the visions, this Satan. We actually see his participation in the vision. We see him graphically displayed to us in his work upon the earth. In the seven seals, there's no mention of him. In the first four trumps, there's no mention of him. But now in the fifth trump, he comes into prominence. And he's painted for us in all his unholiness and his terrible darkness. In this vision, his usual names are not given. It's highly symbolic. It's full of imagery. And therefore, his real names, his normal names, are omitted, and other symbolic names are brought in. He receives further symbolic names in this vision to characterize him. Two of the names are Abaddon and Apollyon, destruction and destroyer. But it is Satan. It's the same person set forth in the vision as destroyer, bringing destruction to mankind. And he is a destroyer. Remember how Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the Satan, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who he'll eat up, who he'll destroy, who he'll consume. What also stands out in this vision is the place that he is identified with. The fifth trump brings a place before us. Up to this time, heaven has been prominent. Much of the visions have taken place in heaven. Earth has been prominent as well, as all these things have come down upon the earth. They've been the two prominent places in the universe in which this book is contained. But now another place is coming into prominence. A place that we have not met yet as we have proceeded through the book. We are introduced to the pit. The word occurs four times in the opening verses, verses 1 and 2. The fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven onto the earth. And to this angel was given the key of the bottomless pit. There's a pit, a shaft, a deep shaft that goes down into a bottomless pit. And verse 2, he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the earth were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Do you see how it's highlighted? Four times, the pit. The pit. Twice the word bottomless is added to it. The bottomless pit. The abyss. The deep abyss. The deep pit. But not only do we read about it at the start of the vision, it is also at the end of the vision, enfolding the vision. In verse 11, we read that they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. John won't let us forget about the pit. He commences with the view of it. He ends with the view of it. All that takes place in between comes out of that place. The pit. This is the first time in the book we meet the abyss. Now, when you read on and study the rest of the book, you'll meet it again on numerous occasions. There are other things come out of the abyss later on in the book. You read about it in chapters 11, 17, and 20. It's an awful place. It's a real place. Now, there are many pits in the earth. I don't know if you've ever been down a mine shaft, maybe down a salt mine or a coal mine, some other mine. How do you get down to the open area, deep in the ground? It's by a shaft. You have to go down the shaft, down a pit, down to the bottomless part. There are many such pits in the earth, wells and cisterns. Sometimes this word is translated well. There are many shafts. There are natural shafts dug out by water and flood, and there are shafts that have been dug by man. Some of them are deep, very deep, but there's only one abyss pit. There's only one bottomless pit. There's only one shaft that leads to hell itself. And that's what we have before us here. The Bible identifies hell as something close to the earth. In the language of Scripture, it is always described as something close to earth, under it. Heaven is depicted as above, far above the earth, the heavens, the heights, but hell is depicted as below and beneath. That's how the Bible depicts it. And Satan being cast to the earth, he receives the key to this place. The key of the bottomless pit. It is the place of demons. It is the place of the devil himself. And this vision clearly shows the devil's relationship to this place. He gets the key of the bottomless pit. He opens it. When he opens it, there comes out the smoke out of the pit. That's what's in the pit, full of smoke. And it's coming out, along with other things. The fallen angel has the key to the place. Just one key, a singular key, only to open it to let the hellish interior out. He has power to unleash hell on the earth. And he does. Satan opens hell. He is king over the demons. He is king over the bottomless pit. And he sends his hordes out. This is the place where Satan is most happy. This is the place where Satan feels at home. He was not at home in heaven. As John Milton put it in his Paradise Lost, putting the words into the mouth of the Satan after he had been cast out, Satan said, "Better to reign in hell than to be a servant in heaven." He would rather be free than be a slave of God. Does that sound familiar? He's the great champion of freedom. Freedom from God and freedom from the law. And he thought it was better to be free than to be the servant of the Most High God. And his followers in hell think like him. Hell, they think, is their freedom. But it's really their prison. And there are those on earth who think like him as well. Freedom and liberty. The great subject, the great theme of the liberals, the great theme of the anti-God camp, the great theme of the sodomites and the lesbian community, freedom. Let us break his chains, cast away his cords from us. Earth is Satan's battlefield with God. You'll see that these locusts that come out, they come out like an army terrible. They come out with the noise of the chariots of many horses running to battle. As indeed they are, they're running to battle. Battle against God, and their battlefield is on the earth amongst men. Earth is the battlefield. But hell is the devil's headquarters. It is the satanic bunker where he organizes all and sends out his hordes of demons. And from there, this mass of devastation comes forth from destroyer. In the vision before us, the pit is unfettered because it is opened by him. And we see things coming out upon the earth. And we want to observe the unleashing of hell upon the earth. The first thing that comes out is smoke. He opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the earth were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And tonight I want to focus on the smoke. The smoke that comes out of the pit when it is opened. Thick smoke, dark smoke, gushing and bellowing forth. And in that smoke you see the purpose of hell. You get some understanding of the nature of hell. And you get some understanding of what the devil wants to unleash upon earth and amongst humankind. The smoke is the first thing that is unleashed. Now, the word smoke occurs frequently in the book of the Revelation. And you have to understand that it is used in different ways in this book. Used in different contexts. And you have to carefully look at each context where the word smoke occurs. And while it is used about a dozen times, it's not always in the same kind of context. And it's not always the same smoke. John knows that. That's why he's careful to differentiate this smoke and to tell us it's coming out of the pit. It's coming out of the bottomless pit. It's that kind of smoke. And it's the smoke that's coming up like the smoke of a great furnace. He doesn't just say there's smoke. He wants to differentiate it from other kinds of smoke that you read about in the Bible. This is a very distinct kind of smoke. And John wants us to know that. You see, there's smoke in heaven, and there's smoke in earth, and there's smoke in hell. And heaven's smoke is not like hell's smoke. It's nothing like what is coming out of the abyss. The same word, but different smoke. Heaven's smoke is different. We've already met heaven's smoke, chapter 8, verse 4, at the altar. The smoke of the incense, which came up with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God, out of the angel's hand. Here's a blessed smoke. Here's a smoke that goes before God, that's sweet, that's fragrance. Here's a smoke that causes the prayers of the saints to be accepted. What smoke is this? This is the incense of Christ. This is the whole burnt offering of our Lord Jesus Christ. His sacrifice. His priestly work. His intercession. His prayers and his offering that he raises is like the smoke before the nostrils of a holy God. Sweet and fragrant. More like incense. Like a smoke cloud of incense. And that smoke is given in love. And it doesn't bring darkness. It brings light and it brings sweetness and it brings joy. Joy to heaven. The smoke that causes joy in the presence of God. The smoke that gives our prayers power. Blessed smoke. The smoke of heaven. Bringing sinners near to God, purifying the prayers of the saints. You remember how, whenever Zacharias was in the holy place at the incense altar, it says the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the time of the incense. There was the blessed smoke inside, and the people were outside, hoping in it, trusting in it, that their prayers would find admittance into the presence of God with the incense smoke, the blessed smoke of heaven. Christ loved us and he gave himself for us and he's an offering and a sacrifice to God as a sweet-smelling savor. Our Christ is this blessed smoke. But this smoke from hell is not like that. This smoke unleashed from the pit is altogether different. It's the opposite. It brings darkness, not light. It brings death, not life. It brings despair, not hope. It brings destruction, and not justification and acceptance with God. It brings to hell. Even as it comes from hell. In heaven also, in this book of the Revelation, we read of the smoke of God's glory. In Revelation chapter 15, John looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. Verse 6, the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And it says concerning that temple, verse 8, the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. Here's the smoke in the temple. Do you remember how in the Exodus and the tabernacle there was a cloud that was covered the tent? It was a cloud of the glory of God. It was a cloud of his presence. And that filled the tabernacle. Not a smoke cloud so much. More like the clouds in the sky that allow light and hold the moisture and carry the dew and cause it to drop with freshness on the people of God, reviving them and yet darkening man when his wrath is stirred. And so it pictures the glory of God, that smoke in heaven. It's not like the smoke of hell. Remember how in the vision in Isaiah chapter 6, he saw the king, the Lord, high and lifted up, and the posts of the door of the temple moved at his voice, and the house was filled with smoke. That's not the smoke of the bottomless pit. It's altogether different. Oh, that's the glory of God. The glory of the Lord. The glory of his cloud. The Shekinah. It is also used to describe the completeness of the destruction of sinners. The completeness of the destruction and punishment of the ungodly. It describes the effect of the divine wrath, and you have it so often in the Bible about smoke coming out of his nostrils, his wrath, and the effects of the divine wrath. You read about that in Revelation 14, for example, about any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand. The same shall drink of the wrath of God. And he'll be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. That's different. That's the wrath of God consuming sinners and the smoke of their torment eternally ascending. This smoke isn't this. This isn't the smoke of God's torment upon the damned. Although it is a judgmental smoke, but it's of a different kind. God is a consuming fire, and the unrepentant experience the outpouring of divine wrath. And later on, when we see spiritual Babylon, when it's destroyed, how is her destruction described? They see the smoke of her burning. And they saw the smoke of the burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And then again they shout hallelujah, and they say, her smoke grows up forever and ever. And so the destruction of spiritual Babylon by the wrath of God is as smoke ascending. And the fire and smoke came down on that occasion upon Babylon, as it came down on Sodom and Gomorrah and the world. And it's that smoke that came down, comes down and ignites hell. So it tells of the torment of sinners from the fierce judgment of God. And there are many Old Testament references that we could turn to show that. But the smoke in our text is different. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. This smoke doesn't originate in heaven. It is not coming from heaven. It is not coming down. The Satan comes down, the angels cast down. He has the control of this pit, and he unleashes it out of the pit. Now, God allows it, God uses it in his sovereign purpose on the earth, but it comes from the abyss. It is not the smoke of torment of the damned in there. It is smoke that is coming out of there upon the earth to wreak havoc. It is the smoke of Satan's home and his headquarters. It is hellish smoke, satanic smoke, devilish in origin. And the smoke bellows out of hell like out of a great furnace. It's thick. It's black. It's dense. It spreads wide throughout the entire earth, and the whole atmosphere is affected. And the atmosphere of earth takes a hellish characteristic. The atmosphere of hell infects the atmosphere of the earth. Notice how it says, the smoke of a great furnace and the sun and the earth were darkened. The sun and the earth. It affects the sun and it affects the atmosphere. It affects the earth. It's a thick smoke. It brings a thick darkness, a darkness that can be felt because it affects the earth. It's like whenever a volcano erupts and comes out of the shaft of the earth, there's a smoke. And people can feel it. And they breathe it. And it corrupts their lungs. And it harms them. Well, this smoke is something like that. The smoke brings darkness. The sun is blotted out by it. The air and atmosphere is polluted by it. Here is darkness again. We've already seen that in one of the earlier visions, but here it is again. This is darkness that can be felt. Darkness upon the earth. This smoke affects humanity. And what we have here, congregation, is a picture of Satan in action upon the earth. That's what this is. Bringing darkness, bringing pollution, moral, spiritual darkness, mind you. It's a vision, full of imagery and symbols, but it's clear. Bringing darkness, hell unleashing darkness on the earth, hell unleashing moral pollution on the world. That's what it is. It's coming out of hell, removing the light, pouring into the earth immorality, bellowing the darkness, bellowing the black, thick smoke, the uncleanness and the harmfulness and the effects of it. The darkness and moral pollution on the earth is not haphazard. It's designed and it's controlled. And it comes from hell. It is not nature, but it is contrary to nature. It is not random. He opened the bottomless pit and unleashed the horrors of hell. It's the design of hell. It's planned and orchestrated. And it's not weak and feeble either. It's the smoke of a great furnace. It's bellowing. Ceaselessly, endlessly bellowing. It comes out with the full fury of hell. And its purpose is clear. To hide the sun. To choke the air. To create an atmosphere where the ingredients essential to life are removed. To hide the light. To lessen the oxygen. To bring an atmosphere where these hideous locusts can flourish and do their work on tormenting men. The ungodly. Those who are not sealed by the Holy Ghost. Those who have not the mark of the Lord upon their foreheads. Those who have not experienced the true baptism. None of them are saved. The unregenerate are the targets of these demons of hell. Poor perishing sinners. Hell wants to bring its atmosphere to earth. Hell wants to make earth like hell. Hell wants to give earth a taste of hell. Hell wants its hellish torments to be earth's torments. And the devil is spreading his smoke across our world. The world is not a nice place to live because of this. We see this every day. We feel the darkness every day. We see it about us. We see it in the media. The terrible darkness, the terrible torments of families, the terrible torments of people, the torments through hellish assault. This is the world in which we have to live, people of God. The shining lights. Devils don't directly affect us, the people of God. We're safe. But we live in such a world. There are ramifications for us. That world in which you have to bring up your children. Here it is. Getting worse. That world into which your grandchildren will be born. This is it. The whole world lieth in wickedness. This is it. A world under the curse. A world that the prince of the power of the air bellows out this hellish atmosphere. The devil is Apollyon, destroyer, and he brings destruction. He brings moral and spiritual darkness upon the earth. Doesn't the Bible say that all the time? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. He's unleashed the smoke. It's the God who has been cast down to this world, the fallen angel, the one who was a morning star, who was light, but left the light and wished to become darkness, and who wishes to bring that darkness upon humanity. And he unleashes hell to do it to. The God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. The air is filled with the darkness. And he's a prince of the power of the air, the prince of darkness, who darkens men's minds, who darkens the human race, who shuts out the light, who conceals the sun of righteousness, who shuts out the view of the love of God, who turns it all into darkness and blackness, who obscures in man's mind a true view of God. He keeps man from Christ in the smoke, in the darkness. Romans 1. All of that darkness in that chapter. They didn't know God, the human race. They glorified him not as God. Neither were thankful. They became vain in their imaginations. And what happened? Their foolish heart was darkened. It was darkened. That's what's happening. The ungodly. That's what's happening to those who choose a perverse lifestyle. Their foolish hearts are being darkened. Darkened by the devil. Darkened by the smoke that bellows upon the earth from the bottomless pit. It's everywhere in the Bible. Ephesians 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. Who does the darkening? Where does the darkening come from? The smoke of the pit. He opened the pit, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The sun has been concealed. The light that brings life, they are alienated from him through the darkness, through the thick smoke from hell, as it is cast out by the prince of the earth. When in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is how he works. This is how he does his work in the children of disobedience. He has the key of the bottomless pit and he leashes out the smoke. He chokes the oxygen of God's word. He causes sinners to breathe the moral pollution of hell itself. He chokes the word that would bring life to the sinners. He chokes it in the smoke of the pollution of hell. Sinners don't breathe the atmosphere of heaven. They breathe the atmosphere of hell. They don't partake of the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. They partake of the atmosphere of the prince of the power of the earth. This is what the Bible teaches. These are not sealed, remember. They're the unconverted. Now, what is happening here then? Well, hell's atmosphere is coming upon the earth, out of which will come these locusts to torment men. This is why we have abortion. It's the moral pollution of hell. This is why we have jihad and militant Islam. It's the moral pollution of hell. This is why we have the rising tide, the unending rising tide, the ever-increasing, abounding moral depravity of sexual impurity, and the rising tide of perversion. It is satanic. It's satanic. It's from hell. Then there's a rising tide of the occult, spiritual darkness, moral pollution, and it's darkening men's minds, and it's darkening our young people, and it's leaving them open to demonic activity. The locusts that will torment them. It's awful. And as we get nearer to the end, this evidently is indicating it will get worse. This is what we will see. We are not to be surprised by the increasing immorality and the growing thick darkness getting into all places, into every home, affecting every parliament, polluting every chamber. What is hell's atmosphere like? Well, look at the old world before the flood came. Or visit Sodom and Gomorrah before the wrath of God came. Then you get a picture of the atmosphere. And so this vision teaches us how wicked Satan is. How he hates humankind. And how humankind is just pawns in his war with God. And how weak and feeble the world is that has turned its back on God. And the ungodly who won't have the Lord and who break away his cords and who think that they are free are not free. All they are is engulfed by this atmosphere and this smoke and are open to this attack of the locusts. It is no joy to be Satan's slave. What does the Bible say? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Listen to it. The rulers of the darkness of this world. The rulers of the darkness of this world. The darkness of this world has rulers. And Satan is one of them. Spiritual wickedness in high places. It shows how terrible dark things are going to become on the earth and how other things are going to arise out of this pit also until at last the beast is slain and the end comes. But we who are the people of God, we can thank him for his grace. He has brought us out of the kingdom of darkness and he's brought us into the kingdom of light. We have the atmosphere of the Holy Spirit. We breathe the atmosphere of the Word of God. The Lord has given us the oxygen tanks of Holy Scripture in a dark, perverse world. And yes, there are ramifications. We have to go out there. We have to walk and work amongst the ungodly. We have to coexist, as it were, with them. We have to go into that atmosphere to some extent. But we have the Holy Spirit. We have the seal of God. We are not under the power of darkness. Bless his name. Grace has reached us. Christ has loved us. The Son of God has saved us. And he keeps us. Oh, thank God for his grace. Grace that has spared you.